Too bad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the SCB Steelers Podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. We are very pleased to be part of the Variety Sports Network, and I am thrilled to be coming to you from the Bradshaw Bourbon Studio. Still working on graphics, boys and girls, still working on graphics, but they're coming along.
It's the off season. No,
it's the off. It's right. Yeah, we want to unveil everything when it's ready, and obviously Ben is a ghost tonight. Or it's just, oh, here he comes. I can see his shadow. Oh, he had to get his Steelers shirt on. In any case, we are up and running. It's great to have everybody here. We are exactly 1 week away from the Steelers reporting to training camp.
SeatGeek.
Good evening, Burner. Hello, Jen. Great to see you guys in, and I'm sure there will be some more coming as well. At least I hope so. But that's okay. If it's just the six of us, that's where that works too. As camp comes in, Scarps, real quick, this is definitely your territory. What's the best entrance that you ever saw a Steeler make at training camp?
I'm trying to think of, there's been a bunch. Harrison came in on a fire truck. That was pretty cool. Brett Kiesel came in like a backhoe or some tractor. That was pretty good.
Yep.
This is random, and I don't know why I remember this, but Keenan Lewis showed up in one of those like smart cars, but like it's like it was like one of the first ones I can remember seeing, and it was like it's like this big, you know, it's like fucking weird. I wasn't there when AB showed up in a helicopter.
Harrison like, showed up in a smart car 1 year too.
Yeah,
blue one.
Then, oh, that's funny. Seeing him come out of a smart car.
And then Vince Williams, when Vince Williams dressed up like Stone Cold Steve Austin,
that was going to be mine.
Yeah, I was going to say that one too.
You know, I always thought like you know, people say I'm a hater or whatever, but I've always felt like if there was a time to have a little bit of fun, it was then. Now showing up in a helicopter is a little wild, but Harrison coming in on a fire truck was pretty cool. That's probably my most memorable one.
I love it. Yeah, it's been a little more low key the last few years, but I'm curious to see, you know, if anybody does anything interesting. I don't really expect Pickett to do anything crazy. Or what?
Wait till Cam Casey joins the show later.
Oh, okay. Ooh. I didn't even. Yeah, beautiful. I stepped right into that one. Outstanding. Anyway, hey, real quick, guys, what are we drinking tonight?
I got some beer. I still got to get to the store. Sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah.
I've got my beer in my Steel City Blitz mug, which you can't really see. But
Ian, are you still finishing off the Sam Adams Summer Ale?
I am. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
These kegs last a long time.
I know they do.
I had to get a new bottle today because the one we opened last Thursday is gone.
Notice the way he says that. We had to get another bottle. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like how he referred to himself in a plural of we.
There were three of us that drank it. I mean, it wasn't just me.
Scarps, we have a request to know what beer you're drinking.
Lagunitas, I really like them. They have dogs on their cans, which is cool. But this is the Tropical Island Beats IPA.
Tropical Island Beats.
Yeah, you got a little,
that
you
know, that
little,
almost little sounds like
playing it, bongos. And
it
whatnot.
Could rival a certain IC Light Mango.
I was just gonna say the no, official beer yeah. of this podcast is IC Light Mango per Steel Dad. It's his favorite.
Actually, I got to be honest. I tied into a Leinenkugel's Peach the other day. It's good.
Oh my god! Why?
It is. I'm sorry. It's good. On a hot summer day, I was it's good.
Say, I think it's
I would not drink it in the winter. No way in hell.
Yeah, I think it has its
Yeah. Sounds like a fucking mimosa. I mean, why?
What's wrong with a mimosa?
Nothing.
I
you know, just, you're ordering mimosa at breakfast, you know?
You
have six or seven at brunch and then see what happens the rest of the day.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So tell them I want a little, right? Little bit light in the juice, please. Yeah, lighter than that.
Lighter.
Just like
lighter.
That. We're good.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it was in my parents' fridge. I gave it a shot and I liked it. So, as I said, 1 week out. The Steelers reporting to training camp.
That's disgusting.
New York Football Jets, I think they reported today.
And then they traded Denzel Mims like right before they went to
camp. Wow, what a dick move. I mean, why? You got all this time to trade him and you wait till camp and it's like, see you, dude.
Well, is it? I mean, they couldn't. He's been on the block for weeks.
He has, yeah. I don't
really see it as a dick move. It was just they finally came together now.
I guess.
Is it just me, or is this the record for most guys that don't want to play on teams in the NFL this offseason? It feels like
Brown started it. I'm sorry, AB fucking started it by being that guy who wasn't going to cooperate, and if they traded him to a team he didn't want to go to, he wasn't going to report, and he had his agent calling teams and going, he doesn't want to play for you. Fucking Buffalo offered a first round pick. He's like, nope, I don't want to go to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Fuck Buffalo. And Buffalo has a good quarterback, had a good quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to go there because it's cold.
They don't know what they missed.
Don't they? Yeah. It just seems like players are – at the time, Mark was like, the NFL is going to go the way of the NBA, where players call the shots and start saying, I'm not going to play here, I'm not going to play here. They're going to start having more input for – coaches, all that shit's going to change, and I really hope it doesn't. But,
oh God, I hope I'm wrong.
You know, but in theory, it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the salary cap structures are so different than the NBA and how they do all their contracts and everything else. So the super teams still are possible in that league, whereas in the NFL, that would be really, really hard to do.
Right. Well, it's not just, but I mean, there are a lot more moving pieces on a
football team. Yeah, right. We're talking five on a side.
It really is. It really is a team sport where with basketball, if you've got one guy who's super fucking dominant, that can tip the scales right
Absolutely.
There. And if you lose him, it makes things really bad.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And to Ryan's point, I mean, it does feel like there's a lot of guys saying, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I'm going to trade. I just trade me here. Trade me there. You know,
but, I just, you know, and I know we'll talk about this later, but I'm just curious to see what the panel, what the fuck am I talking about?
The panel.
He's on a political Sunday morning show.
We have degrees or something. It's like, I was just curious. It just felt like, there was a lot of that.
Let's talk a little Alex Highsmith, the outside linebacker that was entering the final year of his contract, got a pretty nice extension yesterday. 4 years, $68 million, I believe, is what it all looks out to be. And I'm going to put words probably in your mouth, guys, but I want to say we were maybe $2 million under what he ended up getting. Is that?
Yeah.
Fair to say,
I thought 14, 15 million.
Yeah.
In new money. Now, I haven't seen the structure yet.
Right.
So,
and that's always a big caveat with us.
Can't speak to exactly what it looks like, but I mean, basically, it sounds like it's a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
For 14 million per, but he had 1 year existing and they basically ripped that up and gave him a new 5-year deal worth, $70 million. So, you know, he's doing pretty okay.
Yeah, he's buying tonight.
I want to see how much is guaranteed. I want to see how much he's going to make in the first 3 years. I want to see when the team has an out. I want to see a whole bunch of things. And, you know, when I get there, then we can talk about what it really is.
Absolutely. And
because most contracts are, they don't really tie the player to the team for the full full length of it.
Right.
And yeah, there's still nothing out there. Just the same thing.
So he becomes one of the top 10 highest paid outside linebackers in the league. And so that means
if you go by new money, yeah.
New money. Yeah. So that means the Steelers, two guys in that realm. But, Scarps, what overpay? They did the right thing. What do you think here?
I'm fine with it. I think it's a win-win for both sides. You know, last year, mainly because TJ Watt was absent, they didn't lead the league in sacks. And I think what was it, 4 or 5 seasons in a row, they had led the league in sacks. So, you know, I think, you know, what you're going to get, out of them. You know, I think, you know, that, this defense is built on the pass rush and putting pressure on the quarterback. And they got two of the best in the business. They're going to be able to do that. You know, I want to say something though about it, and I know I'm fully aware that there's a lot of guys on offense that are still on rookie contracts, including the quarterback. And so they're right now they're able to pay their defensive guys, but I truly believe that at least for at least one more year, that they're relying too much on the defense. And I say that because if they would have brought in a new offensive coordinator, I would feel differently right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that they kept Matt Canada and they signed Highsmith makes me believe that they're prepping for next year.
Okay. Two things. One, Highsmith, I just did the math and he's actually tied for 12th highest paid edge.
Okay.
So, but he's up there in the upper echelon, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, like we talked about in 2016, 2017, when the Steelers had so much money invested in the offense, that's really a reflection of experience more so than heavy investment on one side of the ball. You've got a lot more experience on the defensive side of the ball than you do on the offensive side of the ball. You've got a bunch of young players over there. It's still kind of an emerging unit. They did make significant investments on the offensive side of the ball this year, but yes, there is the elephant in the room, as Scarps pointed out. Matt fucking Canada still runs it. And yeah, the running game will be improved because that's just put a hat on a hat and move guys out of the way and make some room for Najee. And if he can get to the second level, he's gonna get some positive gains over and over and over again. And I expect him to have a good year and the running game to probably be the foundation for the offense this year. But Matt Canada is still running the passing scheme and designing it and calling it. And it's still going to be like, it's not going to be anything right home about. Let's just put it that way.
Since you brought Canada up, I was going to save this for later, but I'm going to go ahead and ask this or at least present it, something similar to what we talked about last week. And then I saw it come up again this week. Do you guys buy the idea that if the offense ends up doing well, that he won't get any credit, but if the offense does crappy, he's going to get all the blame?
He'll definitely get all the blame.
Yeah.
And the thing is, right, if they do well, it depends on how they do well.
Right.
Because the plays were schemed well? Are they running good plays in the red zone that are getting touchdowns? Or is it backyard football where guys are catching short passes and, you know, making a couple guys miss and getting big yards after the catch?
Or the play breaks down and it's a scramble drill.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of big yards after catch guys. But nevertheless, you get my point, right? That Bruce Arians' offense was popular, but it was a schoolyard offense. It was all based on Ben making plays when shit broke down. But Todd Haley actually had good schemes for the most part, other than in the red zone. But still put a lot of points on the board, but was a much better schematic coach. But Todd got blamed because the defense gave up a lot of points, so they lost more games. Arians is the beneficiary of a good defense.
Todd got cute in the red zone.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my
he'd move the ball at will between the 20s. He would just move the ball at will, and then he'd get in the red zone and he'd get cute. And yes, the defense wasn't as good during the Haley years as it was during the Arians years, but Arians was also getting Ben killed. Let's be frank. He was getting hit at record rates. It was ridiculous. Yep. And that's why he eventually got retired.
sure he did.
And Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben is the all-time leader in sacks.
He is, I believe. And yes.
He
is,
but he also played 18 years. So
right. Okay, but if Todd Haley wasn't brought in, Ben wouldn't have made it to 18
no,
years.
No,
I agree.
I agree,
but
yes.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, wow, this dude was sacked the most out of any quarterback ever. And he and pretty much for a good stretch, for a you know 3-4 year stretch, he was only getting sacked maybe 20 times a year.
Well,
if that.
For all of the Haley haters that were out there, there is no question he saved Ben's career.
No question
I'm sorry. Whether you like the guy or not,
yeah.
He got the ball out of Ben's hands quicker and saved his
ass. No, I seem to remember seeing a graphic in 2010, 2011 when Arians was still around about how often Ben was getting hit.
Oh.
And they were just comparing quarterbacks through the years. You know, this guy's played for the same amount of years as Ben, and he had this many sacks. And this guy had played for the same amount of Ben years as Ben, and he had this many sacks, and so on and so forth. And Ben was far and away the leader by like 50 plus sacks.
Isn't it like Steve DeBerg or somebody from that era that was number two? I can't.
Brett Favre got sacked the shit.
Brett Favre was the guy who Ben overcame to eventually become the sack leader.
Brett Favre,
sacked leader of all time. Sacked. Yeah, Brett Favre got sacked a lot.
Yeah,
in fact, in his most famous sack, he just laid down so his friend could get the record. Remember?
All too well. Yeah, I think a very prominent Steelers writer, Mark Cabali, wrote that comment this week that Canada would get none of the credit and all of the blame. And I would like to think that. Well, I know. If I see the offense is scheme better, running better, scoring points, I got no problem saying Matt Canada's doing better. I got no problem saying that. We all want to be able to say that. At least we should.
If they run the ball better, Pat Meyer will get credit and Omar Khan will get credit. Let's be honest. Okay.
And we all said Pat Meyer did a real nice job last year.
He did. He did. And so, and you know, that was surprising, pleasantly surprising. If the passing scheme improves. If we see changes there, if we see more dynamic route combinations being run, guys being schemed open, then yeah, Canada will get some credit and rightfully so. But I don't really see it happening. I just don't have any faith. I mean, and it's going to have to be on things outside of play action, because play action will probably be effective this year because the Steelers will be effective running the ball.
We have some breaking news. I need to get my sound machine or something like that. Tom Brady, 565 sacks. Ben Roethlisberger, 564 sacks.
Oh, Tom Brady beat him.
Yeah. However,
Fran Tarkenton is the all-time leader.
That's right. Fran Tarkenton, the all-time leader at 572.
It wasn't even a fucking stat back then. Come on.
True. That is.
I was just going to say, I swear to God, I've seen that stat. Before Brady came back, like they showed like a random Sunday night football game.
I'm just glad Ben doesn't have the lead.
And actually, Aaron Rodgers at 530 is not that far behind. You know,
530.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm sorry, I completely missed this comment by Aaron. I thought his most famous sack was the pick he
That was the most famous sack. No,
you were rotten.
Wow.
I want to point Aaron out that earlier on rope. This evening, Aaron also complimented Scarps over here on his porn stash that he's growing.
He did. Like, This is in
its infancy right now. This is going to be outrageous.
What was that police show on Comedy Central?
Reno 911.
There you go.
Yeah,
that kind of looks like
fantastic.
Well,
you got to clean it up. It's got to be like it's like a red in the corner of your mouth. You know?
I did just watch Super Troopers 2 this past week, and Ryan's got a very good Super Trooper style mustache going.
Well, it's got a little thicker, but yeah, for sure.
Leader of Cola.
Let me circle back around to Highsmith because I know we were still talking about him. Ian, had a point you wanted to make.
Oh, I did. You're right. So one of the things that, you know, gets overlooked a little bit about Highsmith is that he was older when we drafted him. His rookie year was his age 23 year. So he's going to be 26 this year, plus another 4 years extension. We basically have him signed through his age 30 season. So yeah, this was a lot of money to give him, but this was also, you know, with the length of the contract he got, maybe his only shot to cash in on a really big money deal, because given that this goes through his age 30 season, you know, NFL players kind of start to break down after they hit 30.
No, yeah, there's that, and there's other aspects of it.
I just also want to say, too, that we talked about on the show that he's a different player when TJ Watt is on the field.
He is.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that is a fact. Like it's that, and I'm, you know, and I've said this many times, you know, like how Sidney Crosby, when you play with Sidney Crosby, like he elevates,
makes it easier.
He elevates the people around him. And whether that's, you know, TJ Watt taking the double teams, or, you know, or Sid, you know, taking more of the stuff, but, you know, I don't think that's a knock on Highsmith. My concern is that this is not a defensive league anymore. And I'm not saying that they're going to score 50 points in a shootout with the Chiefs. Okay.
Have you not read Twitter, Ryan?
Well, no, believe me, this whole week, like, you know, no matter what I say on Twitter, there's always a bunch of assholes. I'm just going to be honest. Like I said,
that goes for everybody. It goes for everybody though, dude.
But I'm just saying that, like I said, Deontay Johnson is just not some guy. Like he's a good player. And last year I think was a fluke, you know, a toe here or a foot there or a Rex Ryan here. And, you know, and
if DJ had a decent fucking coordinator, he'd be a top 10 wide receiver in the league.
Exactly. So,
Berner,
so,
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think that Highsmith's better than Dupree.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one. But anyway, I'm concerned because I don't think if they would have gotten rid of Canada this year, I would have been much more optimistic. So the fact that when you, and I get that this is just the time where they pay the defense. It's just, you know, whatever you want to say. But
sometimes it just falls that way based on the cycle.
But, you know? But as long as Matt Canada's coordinator, like, they're not going to score points. I'm just being honest. They're not going to score points. They're going to need.
They'll score points, but they're not going to be you know, in the upper 20s, right? On average, like, and that's where you need to be as a high powered offense, right? You know, let's just say, and I'm just putting this out there for the sake of argument. Let's just say they go from 18 points per game last season to 24 points per game this year.
That'd be outstanding.
It would be a huge fucking jump.
Big jump.
Yes.
Huge.
That's really hard to do, but yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, especially after watching the play calling in the fucking red zone last year. But, you know, if they could do that, that would be great. It would be good. Fingers crossed. I hope benefits the Steelers. But just like Ryan, I have my doubts. And to your point, again, Berner, I think that Highsmith is a better edge setter than Bud was. He's not as good a pass rusher as Bud was.
That's what I was going to say. I think Bud was a little more dynamic as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
And could get numbers regardless of who was on the other side.
Yeah.
Not huge numbers. Don't get me wrong. He could get a few more numbers than what Highsmith has shown.
Highsmith is Robin to TJ Watt's Batman.
No doubt.
Bud also, because of his speed, could demand double teams in certain situations. Right. And that did help TJ. Whereas if TJ is on the field, you're not going to double Alex Highsmith.
No.
No. Yeah. Unless it's a run play to that side and it's just how the scheme is called. But in a normal passing situation, if TJ is on the field, but that gives Highsmith opportunities.
Have you noticed what TJ does when he sees when he looks down and he sees that Highsmith's going to get doubled? He runs down the line this way. He doesn't do the wide arc. He runs straight down the line to see what's going to be there, and he stops at that point.
Does he get enough credit sometimes, Watt, for being the student of the game that he is?
I don't know.
He's a smart son of a gun. You can see it sometimes when, as Ben just pointed out, when the ball goes away, He can kind of sniff things out really, really quick when the ball eventually comes his way. Maybe it's a play action fake the other side. It comes around. I think he's a pretty high IQ player. Which maybe we knew that, but anything else on Highsmith, guys?
I mean, when this defense is fully healthy, I mean, they're a really darn good unit. It's just that, you know, when they're fully healthy, but
we still have questions about the middle of the field.
The inside linebackers,
it scares me. It's
the middle linebackers. Who's going to play dime linebacker? Who's going to play? I mean, who's going to cover strong safety?
If Keanu Neal is healthy all year, I think that's huge. Because we know what he can do in that role as a dime backer type thing. You know, I wouldn't want to see him in coverage all the time. But he's a great run supporter, big hitter. But his health has always been a question.
The Steelers, I believe, are going to rely on running the football. And I do think that's probably their best option.
Yeah, it is.
I think that sets them up for success. I think it sets up Kenny for success. But if, you know, I look at opposing teams, and you know what? I'm not going to try to run the ball in the Steelers. I'm just not going to do it. You know, I'm going to try to expose them, and they're going to do so via the middle of the field. That's what I think opponents are going to try to do this year.
They're smart enough to match corners on wide receivers when they shift them to the inside and not put a linebacker on them.
Yeah.
It's still early and I don't know who's going to start for the 49ers, but they got a really good group that could go in the middle, Debo and Brandon Ayuk. And then of course, George Kittle. Oh, you don't think so?
No, I do, but I don't think that necessarily gives them an advantage, and here's why. They don't have a fucking quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. They don't know who's going to play. They have no idea who's going to start week one.
That's fine. I mean, if it's Trey Lance, I'm going to pick the Steelers, but if it's Brock Purdy, I'm going to like
– Brock Purdy ripped all the fucking tendons in his elbow in a playoff game.
I haven't looked at his status. I don't know where he is yet.
Brock Purdy may never be the same again. He may be done. He may be done. Literally. I mean, he may be like a flash in the pan, almost a Tommy Maddox kind of a career where he's really good for a short period of time, and then something happens, and he's never the same again.
Never be the same.
I did not have Christopher Cross on the SCB bingo card tonight. That's fantastic. We'll see.
One other quick point. Scarps talked earlier about the fact that the Steelers are setting themselves up to be relying upon the defense and run the ball. And we were talking about this amongst ourselves this week on the Slack channel.
Right.
And my thought at the time was, what fucking choice do they have? They can't throw the ball. They can't. I mean, I'll be honest, they can't. You got a young quarterback. You got an offensive coordinator who has his head up his ass. You have a pretty talented stable of running backs. And it sounds like you're going to add at least one more in camp here that could be dynamic as well. And you've made a significant investment in the trenches. What choice do you really have but to be relying upon running the ball
and trying
to stop the run? You don't really have any choice. The whole paint the barn red because you got red paint thing. This is what the Steelers can do this year. So they are setting themselves up to do exactly that. And if I were them, I'd do the same thing. These are the strengths of the team.
Yeah, but like, to me, that's just such an archaic way of thinking.
It is, but it's what you got.
But it is, it's what they've got, man. I mean, that's it.
But is that what they have? Because their offensive coordinator is so hamstrung and dumb.
Hamstrung?
So whatever.
He just sucks.
Stringy ham. But what are you? Why wouldn't you want to maximize? Why wouldn't you want to maximize the window you have with a rookie quarterback?
If Yeah.
I just don't especially understand when, that.
From my standpoint, you're going to have to make him learn a new system next year anyway. Fuck it. Bite the bullet. Do it now.
Do it now. What and that if, was that was my argument last year. At the end of last year, just if, get it over with. Get the new coordinator in there. And
yeah. What if Mike Sullivan is promoted to offensive coordinator when Matt Canada leaves?
There will be
it's possible.
A lot I mean, of belly aching.
Right.
Or what about the who's the guy they just hired from ASU? The senior offensive assistant. What the hell is his name?
Oh, I can't think.
Mr. Clipboard Carrier.
Can't even fucking remember. And somebody told me that he was going to be the passing game coordinator. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
No, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, but I'm just curious.
So why are you asking it?
Fucking yinzers. Well, if Kenny Pickett's college coordinator, Mark Whipple, was coordinating this offense in the NFL.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm just from the aspect of the way he attacks opposing defenses. Would Mike Tomlin still be building this team to run and play defense? Or would he try to throw the ball more with a more wide open aggressive?
I'm sorry, but that shit does not work in the NFL, man. I'm just saying, I'm not being really right. Still dead. I just like that. Just, this is not, I mean, you might get like, it's like the like. Remember when the read option was the flavor of the month?
Oh, that's
all of a sudden, and all of a sudden everybody, you know, figured it out. You know, I'm not saying Kenny Pickett needs to be Mahomes or Burrow or fucking Josh Allen. I'm not even expecting that. I just like I want to see what the kid can do. And
but,
I feel
but do
that
fans
so
understand that
this.
Though? Do fans understand that he's not the type of guy that can sit back there and sling it 40 times a game?
No.
And
the MVP.
And, right. And the other thing I think it's important to note, not only do they not understand that, they don't understand that year two is still a growth year. People are expecting him to be like, okay, he was a rookie. He showed some progress. They're expect a lot of Steelers Twitter is expecting Kenny Pickett to come out as a finished product this year, but he's not. This is still like, still kind of getting into your NFL career. Like year two, that's why people hit a sophomore slump, right? That sometimes they have a good growth trajectory their first year, and then the league catches up with them and they get film on them and they figure them out and people have to adjust. So we'll see. But that's not a big unknown is what
eventually that's going to happen. That happens to every quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually, DCs are going to figure out his tendencies and it's going to be harder for him to perform. And when that happens, if he can come back from it, he'll be a good quarterback.
And I think that'll happen with Brock Purdy. I think now that coordinators have had a chance to see this kid a little bit, plus he's going to be coming off an injury.
The injury thing for me is the biggest question mark with Purdy. It's like,
it's not a good one.
Like he hasn't even thrown the ball yet. It's July. The guy hasn't thrown the ball yet.
Right.
So it's like,
I think it's going to be Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
I don't think you're wrong, Scarbs. I
is Sam Darnold? Is he on that
he
roster?
Is. He's a Niner.
League.
He's a
still
Niner.
In the league.
He's one against the Steelers.
I thought he was done.
He's made some nice throws against the Steelers.
I was being
career.
A smartass. I know Sam Darnold's still in the league. I was being a smartass.
But then I look at it. It's like, okay, well, and I'm just going to be frank. Like, I don't think Kenny Pickett is that great. I really don't think he is. I wish him the best, and I hope that he does well. Man, the 49ers invested a pick in Trey Lance, and like he's an afterthought to me. I mean, let's see how it shapes up when they go to camp. But like, I mean, I know he had a big, a big bad injury last year that slowed him down. But maybe I don't know. Maybe they obviously know something I don't.
Yeah,
not just invested a pick.
They traded
first round picks. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it three first round picks? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was
either two or three. They didn't have to go
two
up
or
very
three.
Far.
Yeah, it was. It was.
They had to go from five to two. It was three.
It was three first round picks, plus
for
a third
one.
Round pick.
Three
to.
Plus.
Yeah, to move up and take Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 2021 first, 2022 first, 2023 first, and 2022 third. To move up from
and they still don't know what they have.
No,
they really don't.
To move up, it was a couple of games
from
12
injury.
To three. So they
know he's not good.
nine spots.
No, I'm trying to be fair to the kid because he hasn't really had much of a chance. He got hurt out for the season, I don't think things are real. I don't think the arrow's pointing up. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm.
I feel really bad for Brock Purdy. I mean, had a dynamite season.
Yeah.
Then he has that horrific injury in a playoff game early in the game. Game over.
Yeah. Ask Terry Bradshaw about the elbow.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's a whole other world now, but,
And I mean, he couldn't even throw, but like, good for him for even going back out there. Like, I wouldn't.
Right.
I would have been like,
For trying, but
fuck you, dude. I can't even. But you know, and also too about him, he's a seventh round pick, man. I know
he was
like,
Mr. Irrelevant, man.
He was.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes, and like in Steelers Twitter, like Steelers Twitter gets on their high horse. They're like, oh, he's a fraud or whatever. He's a fucking seventh round pick. He's been like,
yeah, what do you want him to be?
How the fuck is he a fraud? He's going out and starting games and winning.
Because they're so upset that Kenny Pickett didn't get the recognition that Brock Purdy got last year. And, oh, maybe that's because the 49ers were good and made it to the playoffs.
Right.
But, like,
that might be it.
Because they have an offensive scheme
and,
that
and won a game in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did they win two? Or no?
Yeah, they had to have.
Yeah, they had to have won two.
Yeah,
they weren't the number one seed.
They beat Dallas and somebody else. Seattle?
They beat Dallas. That was fucking beautiful.
No, it wouldn't have been Seattle.
One of our
beautiful, lovely listeners that we appreciate so much. Can you go to the Googles, please?
just ask Ian, he'll fucking do it.
But
go to the Googles.
Anyway, in case you'll touch on this a little bit later, but oh my goodness, we're so close to meaningful football and like all the bullshit.
We're getting there.
All the bullshit, hot takes, and drama. Is just slowly going to fade away, and we're actually going to have
hot takes.
The hot takes are never going away because I guarantee you there's going to be about five or six guys in Steelers training camp that people are going to be giving gold jackets to by the end of August.
After the first three snaps, and somebody says Master Teague is going to start over the Harris.
I think Master Teague, in fact, has already been cut. But
He's no longer with.
But
the,
I'm waiting for him to come back.
Sorry,
well,
Master T.
Sorry about that. I don't know.
I'm waiting. It's bound to happen, man.
Just a quick reminder, we are presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida and part of the Variety Sports Network. And the show, of course, originating from the Bradshaw Bourbon Studio. Make sure you get out and get your some kids. Somebody messaged me this week, said they finally went out and got some Bradshaw bourbon and really enjoyed it. So congratulations. Glad you took the step and did that. It's good. I'm telling you. It's not just because of who the guy is. It's a damn fine beverage.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. I do want to talk a little bit about more of an NFL type issue here. Because I'm just curious as to your takes, but the whole running back contract thing, obviously this week you had a situation where Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs did not get new deals. So they're going to play under the tag if they choose to play. Saquon allegedly has talked about pulling a Le'Veon Bell, which of course takes us to the Le'Veon Bell. He finally, I guess, decided he needed to apologize to the Steeler Nation for
rightfully fucking so. It's about goddamn time.
Yeah, sure, and all those things. But my point is this. What do you do if you're a running back? Owners are under no obligation to pay you just because you think you are worth a lot more money. I mean, what's going to happen with this position?
Well, it's a fungible position.
Yeah,
and guys are asking for $16 million a year because that's what McCaffrey makes, which, in my opinion, he's overpaid too. But teams have done well with him, so I guess you can't really argue with his success.
Yeah,
but I think that's a guy who at some point is going to be sitting with a whole bunch of dead money on his contract, and he won't be contributing much. So.
I look at the Chiefs last year.
Big Ben's burner. That's a great point.
They go to the Super Bowl with a seventh round draft pick you know, making substantial and highly significant carries and touches and scored it a couple times in the Super Bowl. And other teams are like, wait a minute, why are we investing such high numbers and everything in running backs if we can continue to get them there and in free agency and wherever else? So I, you know, is it a question of did the NFLPA, did the players union goof this up a little bit at all in the collective bargaining? Because
no,
I don't know.
Well, here's what I'll say. So 2 points. One, running back in the NFL is a young man's game. I did an analysis a couple years ago. I should probably like actually update it, but like most of the players that finish at the top of the league in rushing are 25 mm-hmm. years old and younger, which right. is pretty much your rookie contract.
Yeah.
Unless you're Najee Harris and then 25 years old was your rookie year, but nevertheless, almost another as old as Kenny Pickett.
Another reason not to draft a running back.
Yeah. But The other point is, and I do see the player's point on this one, just for first round picks. If you're a first round pick, you have a 4-year deal. The team has a 5th-year option, and then they can franchise you for a 6th-year, which the average NFL
and 7th-year and 8th-year.
Yeah, yeah. The average NFL career is 3.5 years. Right. You know, maybe a little longer for a first round pick, but for the guys who are looking to cash in free agency, they're like, my career is pretty much done by the time I get a shot at a second contract. For the 32 players a year who are first round pick, I understand that argument. For the rest of the guys, mm-hmm. you know, later round picks are only on 3-year deals before they have a shot at free agency or
four.
No, I thought like fifth, sixth, seventh round picks was only 3 years.
Everybody's on a 4-year deal now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, nevertheless,
and then you have, you know, you have adjustments in your 4th year if you played a lot.
Yeah,
proven player escalator they call it.
Yeah, yeah, but still, you know, there's everybody else, kind of a different story. But let's also remember, you know, the franchise tag for a running back is $11 million a year. Mm-hmm. We're talking about $11 million a year.
Right? Like, is that a lot?
Okay,
I mean, fair amount of money
for me and you. Yes, it's a, you know, for
well, I NFL,
the problem but, is you've got what I think is happening. Just overview is the market
that's
is just
guaranteed
correcting.
Money, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, that's guaranteed.
The market is just as soon as you sign it, it's guaranteed. Yes, but it's 1 year, so the market is just correcting itself. Long and the short of it. That's it. I mean, basically, they're looking at guys, as you pointed out earlier, Mark,
mm-hmm.
playoff teams, Super Bowl winning teams. Here's what they're paying their running backs. Running backs aren't that valuable. Sorry.
They're just not.
I mean, you know, we could make the case that McCaffrey, the teams that have had him have done pretty well. He makes this much money. Mm-hmm. That's certainly where agents are going to come from. Alvin Kamara. He makes $15 million a year or something fucking ridiculous. That's outrageous. That guy is not worth that. He's good.
Yeah, he's falling off a
little bit. Damn good. Damn good. But he's not worth $15 million a year.
I think he's the last player that got a mega last running back that got like a mega contract.
His was like 75 in total.
We'll never see
it. It was McCaffrey, wasn't it?
No, McCaffrey. Okay, McCaffrey. I think has the highest average per year, but I think Kamara's total value was more.
Was higher.
Yeah,
we'll never see another
running back
like
that high.
Kamara. Yeah.
Yeah. And, actually, you're right, Ian. It was 4 years versus five. Yeah. But yeah, the contract, the market is just correcting itself. That's the long and the short of it. And you've got this huge difference between $16 million, which is the top of the market, and the franchise tag, which is 11, and guys are going, fuck you. I don't want to pay for that. I'm up here. I don't want to play for $11 million a year. You know, if I'm Barkley, I hopefully see what happened to Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
And I don't sit out for a year.
Is it fair? The franchise tag, the way it is, the way these running backs are so held hostage, and other players could be too. But I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't call
and
it
I hate
held
to use
hostage.
Those. I mean, I know
you're making $11 million. You're not being held hostage for $11 million.
I mean, I mean, though, comparatively speaking, to what you know, some of these other guys are making at other positions that you know, I don't know what was the thing today. They were talking about Derrick Henry has made, I think he's like just under $50 million in his career. And he's been taking handoffs from Ryan Tannehill, who's making like, who's made like four times that.
Right.
I guess that's where it comes down to.
And I mean, you can sit there and you can argue about the relative value of the two positions, but a quarterback is infinitely more valuable and a lot more difficult to find. That's the issue, is that a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL is really fucking difficult to find. There aren't even 32 of them, where there are more than 32 starting caliber running backs in the league. And some of them make the league minimum.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look how many undrafted free agents, Jalen Warren, get pretty decent playing time these days. I mean, it's part of that committee approach.
The one thing that I want to stress about this is that it is not my fault or our faults that your organization, as the hockey folks say, your organization chose to run your wheels off. Okay.
Yeah.
It is on your, or so if I'm one of these guys, if they're saying, hey man, I can't do anything about the money. Okay. Well then get me some fucking help. Okay. So I don't have to play, you know, this many snaps a game or this snaps a game, or I don't have to have this many touches. Okay. And Le'Veon Bell, as we all know, was the bell cow. All right. Yep. Him and Todd Gurley were the dudes. Okay. And they're no longer in the league. And after they got a big contract, they either faded away or whatnot. And I'm looking at Saquon Barkley right now, same type of thing. And I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry that the Giants fucking just used you. And you're a hell of a player, but dude, you weren't even the leading rusher in your playoff win last year. It was your quarterback, and he got a bag. Is that the kids say a bag?
Yeah. The kids do say that. Yes.
But go got back. The bag. Go back and look at the leading rushers in the Super Bowl over the last 10 years for each team.
Yeah.
Not just the winners, for each team. And Beast Mode wasn't even the leading rusher in that Super Bowl win. It was Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
And I sit there and think like, wow, like, listen, Marshawn Lynch was a hell of a running back. I love the guy. I still love the guy. He's entertaining as hell. But the days, and I know this is way before my time, but the Earl Campbells, the Franco Harrises, the Barry Sanders, the Jerome Bettises, hell, even the Adrian Petersons, they're done. It's over. And, you know, like, that's why, like, this, like, and I know it's going to happen with Naj. I know Naj is going to be a dick about it, and I don't necessarily blame him, but I'm also like, dude, why pay one guy $15 million when you can pay three guys $6
million? The fans are going to be dicks about it. You know,
I get
it's
that.
Sunshine Twitter is to say, pay the man, fucking pay the man. It's like, no, that's not how it works. If everybody got a bag wouldn't be a thing.
Jen, I appreciate what your daughter did with her jersey.
As do I. Yes, that's a good point. Nice move, Jen. Yeah, I like that. I think it's fascinating how obviously the game has evolved. I mean, God, you go back to the days of when Brian Greasy, or excuse me, his father, Bob. Greasy, Bob, would throw like 12 passes a game.
Yeah, you know? Bradshaw, same thing.
Yeah.
Bradshaw threw like 9 passes a game.
I mean, just
early in his career.
Unbelievable how the game has changed.
Yeah. But, and I disagree with you, Scarps, in so much as Adrian Peterson could still be successful in his prime today.
I think he'd still be successful. I don't know that he would have the elongated career, though.
Career?
Wait a minute. Wait, what?
Basically, we were talking about a bunch of guys, and you ran off a bunch of guys, and you said even AP. And I think that Adrian Peterson would be successful today. I don't know that the rest of those guys would be.
AP was good, man.
AP was ridiculous. Yeah. He was a man among boys.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Who's another guy that Sean Alexander? Is that a good?
There you go.
I've been playing the immaculate grid with the NFL and trying to if nobody out there has been playing that, it's a wonderful, wonderful, you know, nice little lunch break was you're at work, you know,
the Immaculate Grid.
Yeah. You haven't so heard of this?
Immaculate Grid. Yeah. Started with baseball. So Baseball Reference is a partner with it. And now Pro Football Reference is a partner with the Football Grid. And it's a 3x3 grid. So 9 squares, you only get 9 guesses. So you have to be perfect. You can't miss any. And you basically match up which square. So like, it might be like Steelers, Broncos. So Emmanuel Sanders played for the Steelers and Broncos, but then they'll throw in statistical categories. It'll be like Steelers 1,000-yard rusher. So Franco, Le'Veon, Jerome, you know, so it's really good, but you can't use the same person twice. So if there's like a Steelers Rams category and a Steelers 1,000-yard rusher, if you use Jerome for one of those, you can't use it for that. You know, I mean, pro football.
So you can use Mark Barron for the other one.
What are we doing here?
Mark Barron.
Yeah, or that too. I mean, we could have the Bradshaw Bourbon Studios in Michigan. We could have the Pro Football Reference headquarters in Pittsburgh.
We can have whatever the hell we want.
Yes.
One other topic I wanted to discuss, obviously, before we get to Casey later in the show, but Mike Tomlin is likely going to get a contract extension. That's just what the Steelers do. Look, I think we all like Mike Tomlin a lot. You know, been a very good coach here, and he's going to get the extension. And I think fans that are like, "Oh no, he shouldn't," because we haven't won a playoff game. He's going to get it, okay? But if things go shitty, and it's because of that offense, which he's hitched his little red wagon to.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he hitch his wagon to it, though?
Well, I think he's.
Did he do that? Was he told, you're not going to fire this guy?
Well,
I'm just putting it out there because we all saw that memo last year at the end of the season.
Yes.
That laid out the fact that the NFL had spent $800 million. On terminated contracts for coaches and front office personnel over the previous 5 seasons alone, $800 million.
And the Steelers like to do things right.
And so you have Art and his tendencies already, and he's on the finance committee.
No, I think that plays into it.
I think it plays into it heavily. I think that, you know, I'm not saying that Mike was told you're going to keep this guy, but I think that Art may have come in and been like, yeah, you know, that offense really did get a lot better over the course of the year, didn't it? Why don't we just, I don't know. Well, maybe we should just ride with it the way it is. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there. I'm not going to. I'm not trying to give Tomlin a pass, as people accuse me of all the fucking time, because they're incapable of critical thought. I'm just saying, well, they fucking are.
Nah, you're not wrong.
No.
I'm just saying, you know, I can't put all of it on him because I saw that go out, and I know that Art had a hand in writing it. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that being the case, guy who's making $700,000 a year, do we really want to fire him? Do we really have to? I mean, do we have to? Personally, would I have? Fuck yes, I would have, because you're going to have to anyway.
I would have helped him write the check. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I would have done what they do, you know, give it out to him in installments. we'll mail it to you. You can fucking go now. Clean out your office.
You're going to get a bag of coins once a month.
Yeah, right.
Fucking Bobby Bonilla Day, Matt Canada Day.
We're going to dump a tractor trailer full of pennies in your driveway each first of the month.
I couldn't believe, you know, Bonilla obviously is the most notable one, but there's other Major League Baseball players that have very similar contracts.
Yeah.
There's some other guys that are, God, who's the guy that played for the Orioles? Chris Davis, maybe? He's getting like a huge chunk for the next 10 or 15 years.
And it was just so bad that they just said, please don't ever come back.
What's funny is the Mets still swear that they save money by doing this.
Hell yeah, right. George. I love angling. It's really
good. They pre-funded an annuity called it a day and walked away from it.
Right.
Hey, speaking of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since it's the off season, here's a question for you. Does Mike Tomlin pass Don Shula's all time wins record?
No.
Where is that?
So
Belichick's what, about 8 away?
Belichick, no, he's more than that.
Is it more than that?
Yeah, Belichick is the closest. So Belichick's at 298 wins. Shula's at 528, I think. Or no, sorry, 328. Shula's at 328.
Okay.
So Belichick is
298.
So he's 30 short.
Oh, shoot. I thought he was a lot closer than that.
No, Belichick is
within a season and a half.
No, Belichick is 30 away. Andy Reid is at 247. So he's about, what's that?
80
away. And Mike Tomlin has the third most wins in the league right now at 163. So he's about halfway there. Okay. But I will make this comparison.
Go ahead.
Mike Tomlin is only 51 years old. Right. Those other guys are really old.
But
so if Mike Tomlin coaches 16 more seasons,
the reason that Don Shula has so many wins, Mike Shula has so many wins, is just like Mike Tomlin, he became a head coach at 35.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was at Baltimore initially. Yes.
I mean,
and then he went down to Miami.
So let's crunch some numbers here. How many 9-8 wins? 9-8.
How many 9-win seasons do you need? What a dick.
I'm going to say no, and I think Mike Tomlin loves the grind. He talks about it a lot. He has a tremendous passion for what he does. I think at some point he's just going to walk away from it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Ryan, the answer is a little over 18. So he's been a coach for 16 years. But here's the thing. He's only 51 years old. So he wouldn't even be 70. Like, Belichick's over 70. Andy Reid's over 70.
Yep.
Right? So what I'm saying is, if Tomlin coaches until he's 70.
Andy Reid's over 70?
Yeah, he is.
Really?
I think he is.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Well, he is in excellent condition.
He's he's 65. Sorry, Andy Reid is 65. He's not over 70.
He's on the husky side, but
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't happen, but he could die, next week.
Right. But nevertheless, right? Andy Reid's 80 wins away. Even with Patrick Mahomes, getting 80 wins is gonna take a while, right?
Yeah,
I don't know if Andy Reid coaches long enough to get there.
Nah.
Belichick needing 30 wins.
71. Probably won't get there either.
Yeah, but I mean, Mike
Pete Carroll, 71.
He's what, 160 to beat that?
165, yeah. But he's only 51 years. That's the thing I'm saying. If Tomlin coaches even till he's 65 years old, that's 14 more seasons. He probably doesn't get there in that time, but like,
he'd have to get 10 a year.
Yeah, he'd have to win 10 a year to get there.
That wouldn't even get him there.
No, you're right. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is
sprinkle in a few more wins on top of the 10 a year.
Yeah, oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, but the other side is Tomlin would have to coach till he's 70. But if he coaches till he's 70, it's within the realm of possibility.
I just think it's such a different world now.
It is a different environment.
And listen, I
think Mike Tomlin is a great coach.
Yeah.
He was good to me. I value the time that I got to listen to him speak, coach, etc. Everybody keeps saying, everybody's like, well, Chuck Knoll didn't make the playoffs in his final however many seasons, whatever. I totally get that. That was 40 years ago, man. The game is totally different.
Yep.
So, I'm not saying that that Mike Tomlin should be fired or anything like that, but like, something needs to happen here because they haven't won a playoff game in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's a defensive-minded coach, yet in every playoff game, they give up 40-some points. Even with a defense that's similar to the one that's going to take the field this year, and I know they have a little bit of different pieces, but they gave up 42 at KC. It could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they give up 48 to the Browns at home. And I know, and then Steelers Sunshine Twitter's like, "Hey, Lady Patsy snapped the ball over Roethlisberger." I don't care. The bottom line is like, this is a results oriented league, yeah. and they haven't won a playoff game in 6 years. And that is just in you know, like they haven't won a playoff game in so long that they're like, they haven't won a playoff game in so long that like they're approaching that territory that you just never want to be in, right? Like I saw it the other day, it might be Warren Sharp said they haven't won a playoff game. Like, who's going to break the drought this year? And like the Steelers were like in that area, in that like, you know.
I mean, I'll be honest territory. With you. If the Steelers like, got into the playoffs this year and won a fucking playoff game, even one, I would be tickled fucking pink.
Same.
And I'd be hoping for another one. But if they win one game this year, I will be satisfied is the wrong word. I will think that they've exceeded expectations.
Yes.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. You know, satisfied? No, fuck no. I mean, because we're Steelers fans, we're not going to be satisfied.
One of the big betting houses unveiled all their divisional picks today, and they had the Steelers dead last. I think they were at plus 450. I mean, I think the Browns came in like plus 400. And
that's actually, you know, a pretty good bet.
It's not terrible, to be honest with you.
That's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I mean, all it takes is maybe an injury here or there, and boom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying the Steelers are going to win the division.
No, nor am I.
I'm definitely not predicting that.
Right.
But I think this is a playoff team. Now, will they win a game? Well, not quite as sure of that.
On that note. Colin Coward this week.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, who I don't care for. He said the Steelers have a top five roster in the NFL.
They do not.
Where in the hell do these guys get this type of take? I there's no way you can look at their roster and say that's
to
the
come
top
up with
five.
Controversial bullshit like this.
Yeah. It's just insane. It's absolutely insane. If you want to say, hey, I think the Steelers have a nice roster. They got some good talent. I think they could do some things. That's fine. But don't say they have a top five roster.
You know what else is insane? People who say that Kenny Pickett's going to be in the conversation for MVP this year.
Or that he's going to throw 30 touchdowns.
36 touchdowns to 9 picks this year.
And I will be the first.
I like that.
I will be the first to admit I was wrong if he does that. But he ain't going to do that.
You know what? If he did, I agree with you. I would happily admit I was wrong.
Oh my God. I'd come on this show and I would be like, I was
wrong.
Holy
shit.
I would.
Wow. This kid is for real. But, you know, I think he's still grown into the position. I don't think that he's got a super high ceiling. I'm just hoping that he can be. if Kenny ends up being like a top 15 quarterback, tickled pink.
Top 15 in the league or
in
our conference?
League. In our conference. In the league. Jackass.
Oh, God. Yeah, so next week, the guys report.
Mark Madden is usually wrong, freak. Because what he tends to do is put shit out there that might be correct, but then exaggerate it and leave out context because he is a fucking asshole. You're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's a super genius as well.
He's a fucking asshole.
Is Casey just about ready?
I don't dislike him. Are we called it quits already?
Well, we're an hour in. You guys had a different topic to talk about. Since the listeners are here, are we doing an OT next week?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
yeah.
What better way to start the season? I mean, with an OT. And by the way, you have to be a subscriber to listen to Overtime.
You do?
Yes, you do. I am not. I am not just giving the candy for free, kids. You got
to. You have to push a button.
That's right. You got to push a damn button.
You got to push a button to be able
to
listen to Overtime.
Subscribe and get some of the best entertainment you'll find anywhere.
Sure. It's true. It's entertaining.
It is
entertaining.
Entertaining is one word I would use.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is Overtime, and it's fantastic.
The original Overtime show was very entertaining.
So I've been told numerous times. There's a good question. DJ, or I'm sorry, DJ or Pickens with more yards this year?
DJ with more yards, Pickens with more touchdowns.
I'm gonna go Pickens with more yards and DJ with more receptions.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. And that was the trend last year.
It'll be in because our coordinator is just so forward thinking, DJ will have 97 receptions for
970 yards. 970 yards total.
What the hell's Freak talking about? Thursday, sometimes Friday. We never go on Friday.
No, I think he's saying. Maybe he's not. I don't know
what he's saying.
I thought he meant like we motivate him throughout the weekend, which is I'm like,
oh well, that'd be good. That's good to know. Glad we motivate somebody. I don't know. Anyway, those are good questions. Yeah. So anyway, I think we're gonna plan for SCB overtime next week.
Yes.
Plan on it. Have your beverages ready, everyone. But is Casey primed and ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Casey's Coast to Coast American Top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was July 20th, 1986. Once again, we received a letter from our favorite correspondent, Ryan from Pittsburgh, and he writes, "Dear Casey, the Writers Guild of America is on strike, but I'm not. Hey, Jimmy Fallon, give me a call. And when you call me, don't give me any of those BS laughs you give all your guests. You're faker than a $3 spray tan. Jimmy, you have my permission to use that joke. Well, 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 here we are again, Casey. 1 week away from reporting to Latrobe. It's wild. At times, it feels like only yesterday that the Chiefs were once again crowned world champions. At other times, it feels like it's been 1,000 years, and when I look in the mirror, I resemble Medusa from Clash of the Titans. That's an underrated movie, by the way. Harry Hamlin played a superb Perseus. Anyways, we're so close to meaningful football. I swear if I have to hear one more time that this team is built different, or this team is coming for you, or you're sleeping on this team, I swear I will unleash the Kraken. It will rise from the murky waters of the Three Rivers and proceed to invade Acrisure. It still ain't called Heinz Field Stadium. As you can tell, there's a theme to tonight's letter. I've heard a rumor that Kenny Pickett will arrive at St. Vincent riding Pegasus. Casey, I have no idea where this letter is going. Truthfully, I'm tired. My 3.5-month-old son is the cutest thing you'll ever see, but he's a lot of work. But I keep chugging along because one day he'll know that every Thursday night, his dad impersonates a dead disc jockey. Oh, yeah. I know where I was going. Matt Canada sucks. The biggest move the Steelers made this offseason on offense was keeping Matt Canada as offensive coordinator. You can talk all you want about rebuilding the O-line and how Nodge is going to have a big year, but you can't polish a turd. Had the Steelers brought in a new offensive coordinator, perhaps I'd be on the Steelers Sunshine Twitter side and say that you're sleeping on this offense. But with Canada, I'm afraid we're always going to be in the danger zone. Well, Ryan, I once again ask that you seek professional help. While you do that, here's Kenny Loggins this week up 2 spots to number 2 off the Top Gun soundtrack with Danger Zone.
Oh.
Wow. That was outstanding. You brought the good stuff tonight, man. Wow. Some of those references.
Well, it was about 8:45 and I didn't have a lot going for me. So here we are.
Well, hey, just imagine what you could do if you actually put some time into it.
Thank you.
Shit.
All right. Thanks so much to everybody that jumped on tonight. We say this every week, but we are so thrilled that so many of you have joined us throughout the off season. Thank you. And the season finally gets underway. There won't be a lot to report on from Latro because it's just going to be the guys showing up for camp. But on the positive side, it means that real life football is that much closer. We'll be very excited for it. And And we know you guys will be too. So please make sure you check out the site, steelcityblitz.com. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all those other wonderful places. You know what I'm saying? Subscribe on YouTube if you would, please, especially if you want to watch Overtime next week. Got to be a subscriber. Tag that button, as the kids say. And anyway, for these guys, this is me signing off on the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
Ravens suck.
A little authority behind that one tonight.
That was.
Yep.
That was,